Here comes the greatest thing since sliced bread, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast inspired by George of the Jungle. And now, Medicare isn't rocket science for him, but it is like brain surgery. It's Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Whoa, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am the lazy man who's playing your Medicare expert for today, Doug Jones. As you just heard my Canadian nephew say, he probably mentioned my name, probably in a positive light. I'm hoping that everything is copacetic with my Canadian relatives because we're going to miss seeing them for Thanksgiving in California. They're not going to be able to join us because the Canadian government is not going to cooperate with letting them back into Canada without having to jump through a million hoops. And nobody wants to do that. So thank you to the tyrants that are in charge of the Canadian government. So anyway, we are here to talk about Medicare and how simple and easy and almost fun it can be when you turn 65 or when you retire, if you're retiring later than that, employ the services of the federal government in providing your health insurance for you. In fact, you can read all about it in my book, which is called Medicare for the Lazy Man, and it's got a red 2021 on the cover. It's the simplest and easiest guide ever, and it's chock full of fun, interesting, and entertaining reading about Medicare. Hard to believe that anything about Medicare could be entertaining, but that's what people say that have read the book. A lot more people write me and tell me how much they enjoyed the book than actually go to Amazon and post customer reviews on the book. And so I would like to say to everybody that enjoyed the book but hasn't gone to Amazon to where they bought it to post a customer review, shame, shame. So now that having said that, what I'd like to do is ask Randy Carson to play our 30-second radio spot. So let's listen for that.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate the promptness with which you jumped in to play that 30-second radio spot. That spot has been playing on WLS in Chicago for probably 3 weeks now, and I think I paid for 4 weeks. So they'll get to hear it for one more week, and it has already led to some activity. I'm pretty happy about that. Some old-time insurance guys from back in the last millennium have actually crawled out of the woodwork when they heard that ad. And they said, hey, Doug, we're selling Medicare supplements too. We would like to market Medicare supplements to our clients in the way that you do. What products are you using? How come you're having so much success? And for us, it's just a sideline. So I've got a couple of old friends who are joining me. As I told Randy this morning, they are basically joining the Medicare for the Lazy Man empire. We're building a great machine, a Medicare supplement marketing machine. And I'm hoping that we crush those Medicare Advantage plans like the bugs they are. But you got to do it one plan at a time, one customer at a time. So it's going to be a long process. I hope I live long enough to be able to declare victory. So anyway, as opposed to going to, you know, taking my morning nap, perhaps we should say hello to Randy Carson. Randy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing exceptionally well, Mr. J. I'm sitting here. Oh my God. It's I had to put on a probably a warmer shirt this morning than
it
I would
was
normally.
Cold. It's been in the 60s for the last few mornings. And then the last couple of mornings, it's been in the 50s.
I know. And right now it's only 71.
Yeah, but it takes it so long to get there. It makes me want to sleep late, you know, cuddled up under the covers with myself. It's just not the kind of weather that I typically enjoy. Yeah. I wanted to tell you something. Remember last time we recorded, you told me that your mic arm was losing its ability to stay put.
I fixed that.
What'd you do? Rip it out and throw it out the window?
Actually, I searched and I searched and I searched and I found the screw that tightens up that piece.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a toothpick because you threatened to use a toothpick on it.
Well, as you might imagine, coming from a ranch out in the middle of Nebraska where you have to make do with what you got.
Sure.
That was the first thing that came to mind.
take a sliver from a fence post and shove it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you just moved it closer and your echo was gone. I think the quality of your sound is much enhanced by having that thing in the position it's in right now.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that does that because I was getting very disappointed because every time I swung it over, it swung back until I figured out where the magic screw was.
Well, good for you, because I would have bought you a brand new arm if that's what it took to fix the problem. I could tell it was disturbing to you.
Have you ever had something that just gets under your skin and you can't let go of it?
Not me. My life's always been perfect. I've never had a thing like that. I'll tell you, I'm going to have trouble articulating properly today because my mouth is watering and it won't stop because I told you a few days ago that I had an obligation to take care of this morning. So we'd have to start our recording a little later than usual. And yeah. then it turns out that the neighbor couple across the street with whom we were going to do this event, the husband woke up with a cold. And then they said, okay, he's better, so he'll be good to go on Tuesday morning. However, they now have an appointment with a DirecTV installation guy, and they didn't know what time he was coming. You know how it's one of these things that he's coming between 6 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon.
What and day?
So, well, yeah, exactly. So they did narrow it down to this week. But the guy just pulled up. And so it reminded me all morning. I've been able to forget about our activity that we had planned, but the DirecTV guy pulled up. He's parked out there right now on the other side of the street. And it reminded me of what the activity was that we had planned. There's a restaurant in Cave Creek. It's kind of hidden behind some other stores and it's not readily apparent, but I used to go there a lot to eat breakfast. And a lot of times I was by myself because Mary was back home slaving away at the St. Charles Country Club. And so I would get out and go to this place for breakfast. The place's name is Flapjacks. It was like a combination of two restaurants. And it came from Carefree and it moved to Cave Creek. And it was Oaks and Flapjacks. And they kept both names. I don't understand that. But I don't know how many times, and this is going to be a window into my psyche. I ate in that place maybe 50, maybe 100 times before I ever ordered flapjacks. You're sitting at a restaurant named after the very food that you love, and you don't order it? What the hell is wrong with me?
Well, I'm sitting in Flapjacks here, the best flapjack restaurant in Cave Creek. What do you want? I'll take some toast.
Yeah. Give me, see if you can do some eggs Benedict for me. Will you? Don't screw it up this time. But the first time, finally, after years of eating at that place, it occurred to me to order flapjacks, and they were so good, so tasty, and just the right consistency and different and better than any other restaurant I've ever had pancakes in, that was our plan because the neighbors across the street wanted to go with us. Yeah, let's go find out if they're still good because the owner originally sold it to the employees. Or excuse me, the owner recently kind of sold it to the employees within the last couple of years. And so I want to see if they're maintaining their quality standards.
So are you a breakfast guy?
I'm not normally a breakfast guy. There's just a small number of items that I would enjoy for breakfast. And, you know, I'm heartbroken at what they've done to bacon. Bacon used to be my favorite food.
Yeah.
It's a heartbreaker every time I order bacon or have Mary make bacon and it just isn't so good.
I don't know where to get. I mean, I'm kind of on the search for the holy grail like you are. I keep buying different brands of bacon. I keep hoping that, you know, somewhere, sometime, I'm going to run into one that's the way it's supposed to be. And I've come, believe me, I've come up with some pretty, pretty terrible, tasteless bacon.
There's some outfit in Boston that advertises on podcasts, and they advertise if you sign up with us for a bunch of our free range grass fed beef, then we'll send you free bacon. And they have, it's heritage bacon. It's genetically from hogs that were, you know, not messed with genetically. And so I thought, okay, I'll give that a try. And I called them up and I said, I don't want any of your stupid grass fed beef. I don't need that stuff. But I want some of that heritage bacon. I want to give that a try. No, you can't have one without the other. And I said, well, forget it then. So I don't know if theirs is any good, but yeah, I despair. I think you and I are going to have to get our own hogs and raise
them. We are. Well, there's a couple things that we need to do, because number one is, for those of you on the podcast audience that aren't familiar with all this type of technical jargon, the jargon for grass-fed beef, that's another name for, we caught this cow running across the prairie and it is so tough, you'll never be able to get a knife through it. That's what that means.
Very muscular.
And then the reason the bacon's no good nowadays is because I don't know who decided. I mean, back in the day when you and I were remembering bacon, there was some hogs that had some fat content in them.
Absolutely. And they were proud of it.
These hogs, you see them walking down the thing, you know, getting into the truck. You swear they had anorexia.
They're in better shape than I am.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Where are you getting these hogs at? Oh my God! Yeah, we got them out of the local. What do you want to say?
The Vic Tanny's. They were down at Vic Tanny's exercising.
Yeah, they were down there exercising. Well, it's just, I can't find a decent pack of bacon.
It's incredible how difficult it is. And then every once in a while, I get all excited like you. And I hear about a company that, oh, it's tasty. It's really tasty. And I order it from Wisconsin or someplace, Newskies. what a disappointment. I cried after I had some Newskies bacon.
Yeah, so, I got to tell you, I mean, this will bring back memories for you. So remember in the day when you were sitting down to breakfast when you were a kid and somebody would sprout out with some pancakes or eggs or what have you, and it was actually fried in lard?
Yeah. Well, actually, we didn't have that going on in my house as much as I wasn't privy to it, if that's what happened. But we cooked our eggs in bacon grease.
Yeah.
Left over from frying the bacon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that changed things, because when you cook eggs and you don't have any bacon grease, you got to use something else. And it's never as good as good bacon grease would be.
No. And I'll buy this stuff, you know, the spray stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, it says, oh, this is, buttery flavored bacon flavored. Yeah. Well, if that was buttery flavored bacon flavored, these people have never tasted any real bacon.
Oh, I know. I will say, though, that I remember my first factory job. Back in 1967, I worked for a General Mills plant during the summer. And so, you know, it was right in town, and it was a bunch of other guys that were in my high school class. We all went off to college in different places, and then we all got hired by General Mills. So there were about 10 of us, I guess, that had gone to high school together working in this General Mills plant. And they started out a bunch of us on the what they called the can line. And the can line had a conveyor full of empty cans, and then it had this machine that would fill the cans with a product, and then you'd have to take each can and put it in this other big giant press, and it would push the lid on, seal it, and vacuum seal it at the same time, you know. And yep. But you had to do it one can at a time. Now,
oh my God. No wonder they were hiring you guys.
Labor was cheap back then.
What did they pay you? About 90 cents an hour?
It was probably around $2. But but the whole thing was, I realized I had never heard of this product before, and I fell in love with it. And frankly, I think I need this product now, since I cannot find decent bacon anymore. And this was Bako chips.
Oh, I know where that's at. Yeah,
you can get some of them before. Well, I hope so, and I hope they still taste as good. But basically, it was like crispy fried bacon broken up into little bits, and I would mix them with my eggs or something. Now,
they still make them. They still make them.
We lived at that plant. Those of us working on the can line, once they told us what to do, we had no supervision. We would each just take a big handful of Bako chips and out of the can and seal it up, and then eat the Bako chips all day long.
Well, if you're looking for Bako chips, they still exist.
I've got to get my hands on some Bako chips.
Still exist. They're made out of real bacon. They're made out of real bacon too.
Oh, I don't think I want that because bacon sucks. I want the soybean Bako
chips. Oh, you want the soybean chip? Okay. Well, that's a whole different bottle, but yeah, they're still made.
They taste just like real bacon. I don't know. The chemists obviously had some kind of sorcery or alchemy going on, but it was the closest thing I ever found to crispy bacon.
Yeah, the reason they're crispy is they're chock full of cancer-causing chemicals.
At this point in my life, I don't care. They're going to take everything good away from us if we let them.
Yes, I agree.
I got to tell you, the end of the story is where these cans went. The cans went to institutions, some of which were mental hospitals and others of which were the U.S. Army. And so they would take these cans that were olive drab, and they had a lot of instructions on the side of the can, but you could hardly read them because dark green paint, dark black instructions. Printed on dark green paint is hard to read. But what they would do is the Army did not use cardboard boxes. We had to stock up with the stiffer, heavier fiberboard boxes so that they would stand up under, you know, being shipped overseas, mostly to Southeast Asia. And so we would load up a fiberboard box and it would get glued up. And then we'd go out to the warehouse and they would have inside the warehouse, they had like room for four railroad cars. And these were really long railroad cars. The insides were not just the floor, but the walls were oak, you know, and oak siding and everything, like tongue and groove oak. And it was really almost nice. You'd like to live in there if there were any windows. And what they would do is they'd have us load up four railroad cars and they'd load the left end, they'd load the right end, and they'd put immovable barriers, and then they would load the middle and they'd close all the doors, seal up that railroad car, do that to four railroad cars, I think it was four, and then the inspector would come along, the U.S. government inspector, and he would walk along and he'd pick out at random one of those railroad cars, and then he would say, okay, open that one up, I want to do a random inspection of one carton of product, and he would have them unload the whole damn car and then pick one random box, send it off to their secret laboratory somewhere to make sure that it was okay. That's why war costs so damn much.
I was gonna say, I was checking the Bakos. That was the problem. It was nothing to do with anything else. It was checking the Bakos. Yeah,
that's what a lot of it was. So it was, we always passed. The only time it was ever in jeopardy was I wore the same stupid sweatshirt and the same jeans every day. And, you know, when you're working in a General Mills plant, and I got promoted a few times, so I worked in different departments and I got flour spilled on me, baking mix, cake mix and stuff. And then you'd sweat because most of the plant was not air conditioned. And so eventually I didn't realize this because every day was just a small increment of stupidity from the day before. But halfway through the summer, these clothes actually took on a life of their own.
I can imagine.
And in fact, the foreman in the warehouse where I was working at that particular time came over to me and said, the inspector from the government is going to shut down the whole plant unless, and I said, unless what? And he said, unless you burn those clothes. And I always had a bonfire going because they would burn up old skids and back. And so I had to go put my regular clothes on and then take and hand them my clothes. The guy had a stick. So I basically
hung
my sweatshirt and my jeans on this guy's stick. And he took them out and threw them in the fire. And the government inspector watched. And he said, okay, I won't shut the plant down now. I didn't realize I was that disgusting.
I don't ever want to see those jeans again.
Well, I never did see them again. And I can almost picture them. And I know what the sweatshirt said. I needed a sweatshirt on a trip. My parents said, well, we're going to stop at this gas stop. There's a t-shirt shop or a sweatshirt shop. Go in there and buy a sweatshirt. It was the stupidest damn sweatshirt. It had a picture of two beatniks on it.
Oh my God.
And they were each holding a sign. One sign said beat and the other side said Nick. And I had to wear that for the rest of our vacation every time it got cold. So I wasn't sorry to see it go into the fire.
Oh my God. That's a great story.
Maybe we should talk about Medicare before we wind
up. We need to tell some Medicare stories now. So let's go ahead and fire up the Medicare side of the podcast here and see if we can scare off anybody from buying Medicare disadvantage plans.
Well, the subject for today is going to help scare them off, because basically it is a recitation of what the new bad news, the pain is going to be for 2022. Every year, Medicare announces, and this is done by the CMS. This is the government department that is too stupid to properly spell its acronym. It's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It should be CMMS, but they can't spell it properly. So they spell it CMS. So the CMS struts around like a bunch of roosters, and they make pontifications and announcements. And every year about this time, they announce what Medicare participants are going to have to pay for their coverage for the following year. Now, what's happening is you've got your Part A and your Part B of Medicare. Part A is the type of insurance that covers your hospital expenses if you need to be admitted to a hospital for treatment. And Part A is paid for during your work career. So they take a little bit out of your pay, just like there's a Social Security tax, there's also a Medicare tax, and it used to be a point and a half. I don't know what it is now if they've increased it, but over the years, you pay a premium, and eventually, theoretically, you get Part A of Medicare for free. This is the insurance that covers you if you need to be hospitalized. And there's always a deductible, because they don't give away anything for free. If you're at death's door and you need to be hospitalized, there's always a deductible before they start paying benefits. Now, the last 12 months of 2021, the deductible for a hospitalization was $1,484. And that deductible actually could apply more than once during the course of a year. It was not an annual deductible. It was almost a per occurrence deductible. If you were admitted to the hospital again for a different thing, it's remotely possible that you could pay that deductible more than once. However, those of you with the intelligence to own a Medicare supplement plan would find that this is an eligible expense. If you've got a very expensive Cadillac Plan G, then it would pay for all of the deductible for you as many times as you were charged that deductible. If you've got a Medicare supplement that I recommend, the high value or high deductible Plan G, then it would be applied to your deductible. So it would get you a long way towards the point at which your Medicare supplement plan would start paying 100%. Now, starting with January 1st of 2022, the new Part A deductible for those of you that are going to be hospitalized during 2022 is now $1,556. That deductible went up $72. Now, presumably, you're unconscious. You're not going to have to deal with this. It's not going to be a scary thing. But right now, it's just something to be aware of, that the geniuses who run the U.S. economy are imposing higher costs for everything. They talk a lot about inflation. This is inflationary. You're having to pay more. And also, there are going to be other consequences, like probably premiums for Medicare supplements are going to have upward pressure on them as well. So everything is getting to be more expensive. We've been through this before. Those of us who are older than like 25, we've been through this inflationary spiral in the past. So that's Part A, the new Medicare deductible for Part A per event, per occurrence, is going to be $1,556, which is $72 more than the current 2021 amount is. Now, here's the real action. Most people have all of their medical bills come from Part B expenses, and this is outpatient treatment. When you have a doctor's appointment, when you have outpatient surgery, when you have a test, when you go give blood in a laboratory, any number of things, when you go to an emergency room and then they send you home, any number of things can qualify for Part B expenses. And Part B has always had a deductible that applies, an annual deductible, and this applies before any expenses are paid. So the first time in the course of the year that you need treatment, then they're going to knock off a certain amount of money right off the top. And that amount of money in 2021 is $203. So that was livable, and that went up by $30. So in 2022, your deductible, when you seek treatment for the first time, and it's an outpatient type of thing, you're not confined to a hospital, that deductible is going to be $233. And that's before Medicare Part B will pay anything. And then, as we know, Medicare Part B pays 80% of the remaining expenses for the rest of the year. It never goes to 100%. In order to get you to 100%, you can do two things. You can buy Plan G, which is the kind of expensive Cadillac of all Medicare supplement plans, or you can buy the high deductible, high value Medicare supplement plan, which we call HDG, high deductible Plan G, which costs much, much less. And let's say that a Plan G is going to be $160 a month, and that a high deductible Plan G is going to be in the neighborhood of $40 a month. Well, if each of those plans goes up by the same percentage, let's say, to keep it easy, 10%, well, the $160 plan is going to go up four times faster than the $40 plan. So those of my clients who have a high deductible Plan G, and that's the vast majority of them, will have just as frequent price increases, but they'll have smaller price increases. So at the end of 10 years, they're still paying a lot less than those who opted for the original Plan G. Now, when you're older, the price of Plan G has gone up and up and up by leaps and bounds. The cost of the high deductible Plan G has gone up by much smaller increments. At some point, it makes no sense to have a high or a Plan G. That higher protection has now gone to zero, because what you're doing is you're taking the savings between the $160 plan and the $40 plan. Let's say that's $120 a month times 12. You take that savings and subtract it from the deductible, and that deductible, that savings amount gets larger and larger all the time, because you're getting older. The cost of insurance for you is more expensive, and that way the risk, the amount of risk, gets smaller and smaller, and there's a break-even point in your 80s, most likely, at which it makes no sense to buy a Plan G, and it makes all the sense in the world to buy a cheaper, much less expensive, high deductible Plan G. Because if you don't need medical treatment, you're going to sock away that savings every month in your, Randy, and I think it's going into your underwear drawer, maybe under your mattress. But if you need treatment, you just reach into that stash of cash and use that to defray part of your deductible. And I'm seeing Randy getting fidgety over there on the other side of the screen. I'm guessing that I have just blown all of our time talking about bacon and talking about the increased cost of Medicare for 2022. Is that right, Randy? Are we out of time?
We are unfortunately out of time. I wish we had more time to talk about bacon, because it's one of my favorite things in life.
Like,
we
I said,
don't.
My mouth is watering, but it's mostly because of flapjacks. So I got to get over there and see if they're still making really good flapjacks.
Yeah, well, let me know, because I'm a breakfast guy, so I could certainly use some flapjacks.
Well, you guys are also a Mexican food aficionados.
Yep, and we spend a lot of time at El Encanto.
I was reminded of some of my friends that live here year round that also enjoy Mexican food. So I think I had to get you guys together so that you can, you know, put on the feed bag and compare Mexicano notes. Now, as for me, I'll be drinking the cerveza.
Cerveza.
That's a Mexican food that I enjoy best.
Yes, yes. There's many, many minerals in cerveza.
Sí.
It's actually considered beer, as you know, is actually considered a food.
Yeah, well, I certainly consider it a food. I don't use a knife and fork, but I guess maybe a lot of Mexicans don't either.
Yeah, it's a great, great way to, you know, top off a taco dinner.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you better take us out of here before the audience rebels and.
Yeah, I know. I'm really. I got talked. Got sidetracked on bacon, and now I can't get it out of my head. So guess where I'm going right after we get done in the studio here.
Well, I would have guessed El Encanto, but I'm thinking now you're going to the Bacon's R Us.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a restaurant. You and I will have to go there. There's a restaurant in West Phoenix that every product, everything they make is with bacon.
Well, there, you know, how can they go wrong? Well,
how can they go wrong?
The pork producers have screwed them up, I bet.
I bet they have to look very, 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 very diligently for some decent bacon. But anyway, now that I'm hungry, we need to go ahead and sign off here in the podcast because we are out of time. We need to thank the audience, certainly, for joining us. And if we have enlightened any of you about bacon problems, then we're glad for it. But that was just a sideline for today. In reality, we're here to convince you to anybody that walks into your yard touting Medicare Advantage plans, turn them right back around and walk them back out.
At gunpoint, if you have to.
If you have to. But so thank you for joining us. We appreciate every one of you joining us, because it makes our life a lot more fun than it would be otherwise. And we will look forward to seeing you next time. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy from Oklahoma and a local bacon expert.
Absolutely. Aficionado, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Goodbye, everyone.